And this morning, we are continuing our series exploring the life and death of Jesus, the Son of God, through the Gospel of Mark. And in the passage that you just heard read, Jesus offers us perhaps one of his most demanding, one of his most radical statements. You know, we can often do this interesting thing with Jesus where he says things that are so outlandish, so radical that we just blow right by them. But let's look at this outrageous statement in verse 34, where Jesus says that if anyone would come after him. Now, when he says that, what he means is if anyone would just simply be my follower, be a Christian, inherit eternal life. This is not like if you want to be a super disciple. This is if anyone wants to be my follower, and then he gives three incredible statements. He says, if anyone would come after me, he says, here's the first thing you have to do. He says, deny himself. If anyone would come after me, first thing he must do is deny himself. Now, when Jesus says that we have to deny ourselves, this is not asceticism. See, asceticism is a religious thing that says if you want to be religious, then you have to deny yourself certain things. Jesus is being way more radical than that. He's saying, no, you don't have to deny yourself certain things. You have to deny yourself. This means to simply be a follower of Jesus means that you are no longer the determiner of your life. You no longer call the shots. You no longer determine your goals, your priorities. No, that's done. And as if that wasn't intense enough, Jesus ratchets it up with the next phrase. He says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. And then secondly, take up your cross. See, to follow Jesus doesn't simply mean to deny yourself. It means to die to yourself. In short, to take up your cross means that your life is no longer about you. And it's all for this purpose. Look at the third thing Jesus says we have to do. If we want to be his disciple, if we want to come after him, we have to deny ourselves, take up our cross. Why? So that we can follow him. What is Jesus demanding from us? Well, I think the big idea of this passage is simply this. Lose yourself to gain Jesus. Lose yourself to gain Jesus. Jesus is saying, if anyone would come after me, if anyone would be my disciple, if anyone would be a genuine Christian, he has to deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Jesus is saying, lose yourself in order to gain me. Now, this is really a paradoxical reality of Christianity. See, to come to Jesus, what do you have to bring? Nothing. To come to Jesus, you don't have to bring anything. All you need is need. We come to him all of grace, and yet, paradoxically, to come to him, we have to lose everything. You don't have to bring anything to come to Jesus, but to truly come to him, you have to lose everything. It's as Dietrich Bonhoeffer said in The Cost of Discipleship, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. Big idea of this passage, lose yourself to gain Jesus. Now, if you're really listening at this point, if you're really hearing Jesus, then there is one very simple, straightforward question that you should be asking yourself. Why? Why would I do this? Why would I lose everything to gain Jesus? You know, I really liked Christianity when it was all about me, when it was like, Jesus exists to make me happy and at peace and help me overcome my fears and be the greatest version of me I could possibly be. That was wonderful. I love that version of Christianity. You're killing me. Why? Why should I lose myself to gain Jesus? And really, that's the question that our passage, the passage that Desi just read, is going to take up. Why should we lose ourselves to gain Jesus? This passage is going to give us three reasons why The only thing that makes sense is to lose yourself to gain Jesus. Why should we lose ourselves to gain Jesus? Three reasons. First, because of who he is. Secondly, because of where he's going. And then thirdly, because of what he offers. We should lose everything to gain Jesus because of who Jesus is, where Jesus is going, and what Jesus offers. So let's take them one by one. First reason we should lose ourselves to gain Jesus is because of who Jesus is. Take a look, verse 28. Jesus is traveling with his disciples, and he asks them the most important question anyone can ever be asked. He begins with, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told him, now the people are apparently saying three things, kind of three options where people are thinking about you, Jesus. First, that you're John the Baptist. And others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets. Now here's the interesting thing about all three of those responses. Not one person who believes any of those three is losing themselves to follow Jesus. It's the one thing that all three of those answers have in common. No one who said, Jesus is, yeah, he's John the Baptist, he's Elijah, he's one of the prophets. Not one of those people is actually traveling, following, giving up everything to have Jesus. See, I think that this is really instructive for us. I think one of the primary reasons for many of us, it just makes no sense to lose everything to follow Jesus. I think one of the primary reasons when we hear, lose yourself to follow Jesus, we go, what? That makes no sense, is because we have a similarly low view of who Jesus actually is. I mean, most of us, we wouldn't say, oh yeah, he's John the Baptist, or he's Elijah, or he's one of the prophets, but many of us in this room functionally believe we have three other options for Jesus. Good moral teacher, life coach, therapist. Good moral teacher, life coach, therapist. If you see Jesus as primarily a good moral teacher, then you're fascinated by him. Boy, he's so interesting. He gives us a wonderful way to live. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is incredible. Now, of course, you don't lose yourself to gain him. I mean, he's just a mere man. If Jesus is John the Baptist, or if he's just Elijah, then he's just a prophet, he's just a man. He's no reason to lose yourself to gain him. If he's a good moral teacher, sure, maybe I can imbibe a little bit of that, but I'm not going to lose myself to follow him. Now, for many people, many of you in this room are young. Many of us go with option number two for Jesus. Who is Jesus? He's my life coach. He is the chaplain of my American dream. He's here to cheer me on and make me a little bit better. And you know, I've got this direction. I got a little Jesus on the side to help me out. I'm going to be a great family man. I'm going to run a great business. I'm going to be an incredible parent. And Jesus, just the life coach of our American dream. But of course, who loses themselves to gain their life coach? I mean, after all, your life coach is coaching you, and it's still your life. So of course, if Jesus is your life coach, like, why would I lose everything to gain him? And then, of course, there's option number three. Jesus is my therapist. I think this one's actually really common because it's actually very close to what's true, but just not quite there. See, if Jesus is your therapist, it's, wait, Jesus gives me peace in the midst of my storms. He's here to make me less afraid, less angry, to be a whole person, to be truly human. But no one loses themselves to gain their therapist. Why should we actually lose ourselves to gain Jesus? It has everything to do with who he really is. He's no moral teacher. He's no mere life coach. He's not the curator of your American dream. And he is certainly not your therapist, here to give you the life you've always wanted. Take a look at verse 29. And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." The Christ, or in Hebrew, the Messiah, means the anointed one. And if you really understand what Jesus is saying here, then it makes all the difference in the world. It makes all the sense in the world to lose yourself to gain him. You see, the kings of the ancient Near East were anointed with oil as a sort of coronation of their royalty, of their kingship. When Jesus says that he is the Christ, when Peter says, you are the Christ, he's saying, you are the anointed one. You're the king of all kings. See, the Christ was the long-promised one that everything in the Old Testament pointed toward. Every sacrifice pointed toward this Christ who would be the greater sacrifice to forgive us of our sin. Every prophet pointed toward the God who would come to us to rescue us. Every king pointed forward to this ruler who would bring perfect peace between us and God. When Jesus says he's the Christ, this is no mere man. This is the king of the universe through whom everything has been created and everything exists for. See, it makes perfect sense to lose yourself to gain him. I mean, if he's the Christ, if he's the long, if he's the judge who actually takes our judgment on the cross, if he's the king who wears a cross for us, then yes, I'll lose everything to gain him. If the universe, if I'm no longer the point of the universe, but he is, I'll lose everything for him. See, the first reason that it only makes sense to lose yourself to gain Jesus is because of who he is. He's the Christ. He's the Messiah. Every promise of God finds its yes and amen in him. He's worth it. He's worth it. He's better than life itself. Now, there's another reason, though. There's a second reason why we should lose ourselves to gain Jesus. The first one has to do with who Jesus is. He's the Christ. But the second has to do with where Jesus is going. Let's read together verses 31 to 33. Where's Jesus going? See, if we understand where Jesus is going, then it makes all the sense in the world to lose ourselves to gain him. Verses 31 to 33, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. And he said this plainly. And I just want you to imagine this moment. And Peter took him aside. Okay, so this is the same Peter that just confessed him as the Christ. So please understand, just because you have good theology does not mean your heart is always rolling in the right direction. And he said this plainly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. He begins to pander to Jesus like Jesus some little child. Absolutely not. I wonder, what in the world is Peter so furious about? And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, but turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of men." Peter is furious because of where Jesus says he's going. Peter is absolutely furious because now he knows for sure Jesus has said plainly where he's going, and Peter just will not have it. See, to understand why Peter is so upset, you need to understand what Peter thought he meant when he said, "You're the Christ." See, when Peter said Jesus is the Christ, what he meant, what he believed was, he's a great liberator. See, at this time, the Jewish people among whom Peter is one, their entire territory is occupied by these Gentiles known as the Romans. And they exacted horrible taxes on them, mistreated them, abused them for their religion. It was absolutely awful. And when Peter says, "You're the Christ," he's saying, "You're the liberator. You are the one who has come to overthrow the Roman government. You're going to sit on a throne. You're going to be the king. And my life is going to go really well because I'm associated with you." See, Peter is following Jesus, not primarily because of who Jesus is, but because of what he's going to get from Jesus. He's following Jesus because he thinks, if I follow you, all is going to go well with me. I'll be healthy, wealthy, and successful. I'll have a nice house, probably a position of power, and people will stop making fun of me. See, like many of us, he's furious and he's rebuking Jesus because he wants Jesus to give him glory, not him glory to Jesus. But when Jesus says, I'm going to the cross, when he says he's going to die, well, that spells the end of Peter's dreams. That spells the end of Peter's plans for his own life. See, if Peter's associated with the liberator, maybe he's going to have a position of power, but if he's associated with one who's going to suffer and die and lose himself, then that probably means that's what's coming for Peter too. And he just can't have it. I can so identify with Peter in this point. I can so understand why he feels this way. See, as long as you refuse to lose yourself, you're going to be just like Peter, miserably rebuking Jesus all the time in your heart. I mean, how many of you, maybe you don't rebuke Jesus out loud, but since you still believe that ultimately you are the point of your life, you're just constantly in your heart rebuking Jesus. Jesus, don't you know my bank account isn't supposed to look like this? Jesus, don't you know I'm not supposed to have this many kids? Jesus, don't you know I'm supposed to have a kid? Jesus, don't you know that this is my future? Where are you taking me? Jesus, don't you know that I'm the point? Why aren't you giving me glory? I thought following you meant things were going to go well for me. I thought I would be healthier. I thought I would be wealthier. I thought I would be a bit more successful. I don't like the way my life is going. You see, Peter rebukes Jesus because he just hasn't come to grips with the reality that when Jesus calls a man, he bids him come and die. You see, to have Jesus, you have to be willing to go where Jesus goes. To follow Jesus, by definition, requires following him. Jesus lost himself, went to the cross, and forfeited all comfort. If you want to have Jesus, you have to go to the cross too. See, to have the real Jesus, not some made-up version of Jesus, you know, the therapist or the life coach that makes life still all about you, to have the real Jesus, you have to go where he goes. You have to go to the cross. He went to the cross to have you, so that he could forgive you, so that you could come to him, not bringing anything, not requiring a thing of you. Jesus says, come. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. All you need to come to Jesus is need. Oh, but to come to him, you have to lose everything because he lost everything. See, the second reason we must lose ourselves to gain Jesus is because of where he went. He went to the cross. Where do you think you're going? See, the great temptation of Satan to Jesus was, you can have all the glory without the cross. When Jesus says, Peter, get behind me, Satan, he's saying, Peter, you want the same thing. You want glory without the cross, just like all of us. I want glory without the suffering. I want Jesus without denying myself. Jesus says, no, you can't have me that way. You can't have me as a therapist. I only come as a king. So the second reason why we should lose ourselves to gain Jesus, it's first, yes, it's because he's the Christ, but it's secondly because of where he's going. He's going to the cross, denying himself to gain us. We too have to deny ourselves. We come with nothing, but we have to lose everything. Now, at this point, some of you, I'm sure, are starting to think, well, what do you really mean by lose everything? Like, can we get some specifics here? Like, what do I actually have to give up to gain Jesus? Now, I can't give you specifics because that would be asceticism, right? Deny yourself chocolate and beer and smiling and you can have Jesus. No, that's asceticism. That's asceticism and seminary. You know, like, no, you don't. That's not how it goes. Jesus is not saying deny yourself certain things. He's saying do not deny yourself. But some of you are rightly going, well, hang on a second. Like, you've got one of those untucked shirts on for tiny people where you don't have to tuck your shirt in and it still works. That probably cost money. Yes, it cost my mother money. You know, you've got a house, and you've got a wife and a child. I hear you even have a hobby or two. What gives? How can you say deny yourself? You seem to have some stuff. What does it mean to deny yourself if you're still driving a car? Yes, my car has 220,000 miles on it, but it runs. What gives? A couple thoughts on what it means to deny yourself. Here's the first one. To follow Jesus, you have to take up your cross, lose everything to follow him. But the path of following him does not look the exact same for everyone. I mean, there's, in the Gospels, we even see, you know, one of the disciples, Jesus says to Jesus, you know, I'm going to suffer. What about this guy? And Jesus is like, what is it to you if he is to remain alive? What's Jesus saying? He's saying, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. But the path isn't going to look the exact same for everyone. Like for me, to follow Jesus, I knew for me meant I'm going to give up my career aspirations. I wanted to be an Olympic gymnastics coach, believe it or not. I used to love doing gymnastics. I wanted to be an Olympic gymnastics coach. Jesus called me to follow him, and I realized for me, that means goodbye to where I would have chosen to live, the career I would have probably desired to have, and actually, I would say a little bit more money, but now I know how much gymnastics coaches make is probably pretty comparable. So maybe that was it. But so for some of you, losing everything to follow Jesus, you're still going to be in the same career. Some of you, it's going to mean not only do you lose your career, you're going to lose living in America to follow Jesus. For some of you, it's going to look like you keep on going on the same exact path, but Jesus is going to be Lord of it. For others of you, it's going to be get off that path and go on another one. The question is, are you on the path of following Jesus? Second thought on what it really means to deny yourself to follow Jesus is this. If you give your ultimate allegiance to Jesus, you do have to deny yourself everything. He now rules over your schedule. He rules your priorities. He rules your money. He rules everything. You have to give up everything to follow him. But he may choose to give you some things along the way. Like, I was like, okay, Jesus, I'll lose everything to follow you. I got a house. Like, I'm very grateful. I got a wife. I'm very grateful. See, one of the reasons so often we're such unthankful, miserable folk is because we don't realize that when Jesus called us to follow him, you know what he guaranteed us? Jesus. If you follow Jesus, the only thing you are guaranteed is Jesus. He may throw some things in, but here's the question. If in following Jesus, all you ever get is Jesus, is that enough for you? If in following Jesus, that path meant all you have on the path is Jesus, are you still going? Are you still on it? If the answer is no, Jesus may be your guru, he may be your life coach, or he may be your therapist, but he's not your king. And king is the only way you can have him. See, the hard reality of this passage is for some of us, it really exposes that we may have been around the church and very religious our whole lives, but we're not actually genuine Christians. Because when push comes to shove, you'll choose one of Jesus' gifts over him. The only way to have Jesus is to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow him, to be willing to lose everything. Now, you may not lose everything, but if you do, are you still following? Third quick thought on what it actually means to lose everything to follow Jesus is that for the majority of us, the majority of the time, denying ourselves to follow Jesus will primarily be made up of small, moment by moment, sort of daily self-denial. Now, there may be very big ones. You know, you may be called to move. You may be called to sacrifice. You may be called to give in ways that you never imagined. But for most of us, most of the time, denying ourselves to gain Jesus is going to look like small, daily self-denials. It's going to look like things like this afternoon. You're going to go home thinking, I just really want a nap. Someone's going to ask you to give of yourself to them. You going to take up your cross? Follow Jesus? For some of you, it's going to just simply look like at work on Monday, someone is going to ask you to help them with something. It's going to set you back a half hour, 45 minutes. And you are going to deny yourself, take up your cross, and help that person. For some of you, it's going to be this afternoon. You're going to get home, and this tends to happen, right? It's like you go to a worship service, you get all jazzed up, and then you and your spouse are going to have a nice fight on the drive home. And you're going to have a choice. I could defend myself. Save my life. Be right. Or you can deny yourself. And perhaps not defend yourself. Or maybe, depending on your personality, actually this time open your mouth and speak some truth rather than being such a coward. See, remember, the path's going to look a little bit different for everyone. Here's the question. Have you so been amazed by where Jesus has gone for you? Because remember, we're still on point two here. Jesus has gone to the cross for you. He's given everything for you. He's died the death you deserve. He's taken the judgment. Have you been so baffled by that that you're willing to say, yes, I too will go the path of the cross because that's the path of following you. I want you more than my life. Are you saying, no, I really just want you as my life coach? You can't have the real Jesus like that. But there's one more reason why we should lose ourselves to gain Jesus. Now remember, I'm not talking about works righteousness here. I'm not saying, oh, you're earning your salvation. Remember, you need nothing but need to come to Jesus, but when you come to Jesus, you leave everything. This is still all of grace. And that's where we start to land in this third point. What he offers us is the third reason why we should lose everything to gain him. Begin in verse 35. For whoever would save his life will lose it. Saying anyone who wants to remain king of their life, anyone who's saying, no, I need self-protection, I need to hedge my bets, I can't lose everything to follow Jesus, he's saying, for whoever would save his life will lose it. Now, look, this is Jesus talking, I'm just trying to deliver the message. When he says lose it, he means go to hell. Jesus is saying, anyone who remains king of their life and treats me like a life coach doesn't know me. You're trying to save your life and you're going to lose it eternally. You're like, wait, hang on, is that what Jesus offers? Like, I thought it was going to be slightly better than that. Don't worry, he flips it around. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? He's saying, you can't buy your soul back, but Jesus has. Notice that when Jesus says he's going to suffer, it says, and then in 3 days be resurrected. The final reason why you should lose yourself to gain Jesus is because Jesus offers you resurrection. You may lose everything in this life, but this life is very short compared to the one to come. You guys have seen me use this illustration before. This is your life. This is your brain. This is your brain on drugs. No. Okay. What Jesus is saying is, you live for this part. This is your 85 years, if we're being optimistic. And I'm in a good mood. It looks like springtime out there. You live for this part. You live for those kids. You live for that marriage. You live for that bank account. You treat me like I am the curator of your American dream. You can save your life for a little while. But Jesus is saying that if you want real life, eternal life, that's what I offer you. That's what I've come to give you. Resurrection. See, you live for this part. No resurrection because you have no Jesus. You lose this life. To gain Jesus, you gain him forever. Thinking, oh my gosh, lose my life, my friends, it is worth it. He is worth it because of who he is, where he's gone for us, and what he offers. Lose yourself to gain him. As usual, I want to conclude with just a few questions for you to think about over lunch, talk to Jesus about during your devotions this week, and definitely break down with your city group. Here's the first reflection question. What if the only thing you get from following Jesus is Jesus? You still in? What if the only thing you get from following Jesus is Jesus? You know, if you read the Hall of Fame of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11, you'll notice that most of those dudes and gals died. Most of them met an early demise. It didn't go all that well for them. But they had Jesus. Are you still in if the only thing you get from following Jesus is Jesus? The terrifying reality of this passage, of course, is if the answer to that question is no, then you're not in at all. Second question. In what ways, small or large, is Jesus calling you to deny yourself to follow him? In what ways, small or large, is Jesus calling you to deny yourself to follow him? I'll give you a really simple one I felt convicted about this morning in my own devotions. It's my phone. When I come home at night from work, I feel like, man, I'm exhausted. I need to be entertained. I just want to scroll through my phone, you know, whatever, YouTube or Instagram or whatever it happens to be. Now, of course, my wife is there. My son is there. Of course, in my heart and out loud, I would say, of course I love them more than my phone. But there they are, right there for me to enjoy, to serve, to deny myself, to take up my cross and just enjoy being with them, to be actually emotionally engaged, to be actually present. But no, I'll take my phone because I need me time. Listen, you is dead. You is gone. It's all Jesus now. That's small. Maybe it's a big one. Maybe it's a small one. But in what small or large ways is Jesus saying, deny yourself so that you can follow me? Remember, this is not self-denial for the sake of it. That's religion. Jesus is saying, this is self-denial for the sake of me. Final question. How can you daily cultivate a greater love for Jesus than the love you have for your own life? See, this is not a one-time decision. It's not just like one time you're going to decide, I'm taking up my cross, I'm following Jesus. No, you're going to have to decide this again and again every day. And the only thing that will actually lead you to choosing Jesus over your life every day is if Jesus is more beautiful, more exquisite, more lovely to you than your life. But for most of us, we know so little of Jesus that that makes so little sense. How can you cultivate seeing Jesus every day? talking with him, seeing him in God's word, seeing him in fellowship with other people, in sharing the gospel with those who don't yet know him. How can you place Jesus before your eyes every day so you see him and go, he's lovely, he's beautiful, he is worth losing it all to follow? It's not worth losing everything to follow someone you won't even talk to. Oh, but if you every day will remind yourself, will come to him and remember, I did nothing to come to you. I brought nothing but my need and my sin, and you've made me clean. You've forgiven me. I'm your beloved. I am now God's adopted child because of you. If you'll come every day and have the gospel wash over you and you'll cultivate this love for Jesus, then yeah, sure, I'll lose anything. I have you. How can you daily cultivate a love for Jesus where you see him as more lovely than even your life? In a moment, we're going to respond. We're going to sing songs of praise to this one who says, bring nothing but your need. But I want to give you guys some permission to use the next three songs in whatever way God is leading you. For some of you, if you're a follower of Jesus, I'd encourage you anytime during the next three songs, come to the communion tables. The only thing that will fuel a lifetime of losing your life is grace. It's grace. It's the gospel. It's the good news that Jesus has done it, that Jesus has forgiven you, that through Jesus you're adopted, not of anything you've done, but only because of what he's done. And that's what we remember at the communion tables. You tear off a piece of bread, it symbolizes his body broken for you. You dip in the cup, it symbolizes his blood shed for you. You take it and you eat it. You feast on grace, and grace will lead you to lose your life. Maybe for you, it's like, I'm not standing up and singing. I need to, like, get on my knees and confess that I am not king and you are. Maybe for some of you, it's you need to go to the back and be prayed for and just say, honestly, look, I don't know that I'm really a Christian. Jesus is my life coach, but he's not my Lord. And today's the day. Maybe for some of you, it's just all-out celebration. Because this king wore a cross for you. However God is calling you to respond, please don't leave. Please don't rush by that. Let his grace wash over you. Because it's grace that alone that leads you to happily lose everything to gain Jesus.